We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2022. That's RVRADIO2022. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, the latest edition of RotoStakes.
Welcome in. This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm, of course, Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everybody that you can get that listeners only 10% discount, RV Radio 2022. It's your subscription that keeps the content awesome on this podcast channel. I want to remind everybody to play the FFPC Weekly Challenge if you haven't been participating the last we've been doing it about a month and a half now or so. There's no draft in this. There's no salary cap. It's a weekly game, and you get to pick your own lineup. You can only pick one player per NFL team, like the FFPC World Famous Playoff Challenge. If you want to play the classic format with kickers and defenses, you get 12 players. If you want to play the slim format without kickers and defenses, you get 10 players. You just got to submit up before kickoff for those 1 o'clock games on Sunday. You can only pick one player per team, like I said, which makes it a little bit more compelling. You can play for as little as $35. You can play for as much as $200. We have 30-team formats, 100-team formats, or you want to play in the 10-team winner-take-all format. You beat out the other nine people, you will get a free entry into the 2023 FFPC main event so you can play for $1 million, which is always a lot of fun. Without further ado, let's bring in this evening's guest. This is a special bonus episode of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown this week. I will not be around to do the show next Tuesday, so you're getting two RotoViz shows this week, and I will have more on that coming up at the end of the program. But right now, let's bring in our special pre-Monday Night Football episode guest tonight. He is the 20th place team, week 9 team in the Football Guys Players Championship. You follow him on Twitter at Sisson. That's S-Y-S-Y-N. It is Eric Sisson. Eric, welcome into the program, man.
Eric, how are you?
Doing good. We're going to talk a lot of fantasy football. So we're coming up on crunch time now for everybody who's trying to make the playoffs in the FFPC main event, the Football Guys Players Championship. We're going to talk a little Deshaun Watson. We're going to talk about the 49ers skill position players. I don't know. I've never asked you this. Are you a fan of any NFL team in particular?
I am a Patriots fan, yes. Patriots. I'll probably have to apologize to about 98% of your audience for that. I am sorry. But
we are who we are, man. We are who we are. Don't change your
currently in New Hampshire visiting mom and dad for dad's 80th birthday. So I was born in New England. And grew up a Patriots fan. Kind of got lucky. We hit that band with like 25 years ago. Some Brady guy showed up and then I don't know, everyone started winning championships. So
the rest is history.
It happened. Okay. Yeah. It happened. Right age.
Don't apologize for it. Okay.
I promise.
All right. So we get in, we knew that Zach Ertz had a knee injury yesterday. Now we find out from Ian Rappaport today that it's expected to be a season-ending injury. And a lot of times we'll have guests come on, and I'm like, oh, man, what are you going to do? How are you going to combat that? But, you know, looking at your squad, this is not – I mean, you have an embarrassment of riches at tight end. Tyler Conklin, who's had a lot of big games this year. Juwan Johnson, who's really coming on the last few weeks. And then, of course, Cole Kmet couldn't find the end zone in 2021, and he's living in the end zone in 2022. So yeah. I guess the two-part question here. Number one, who are you most confident in? Like, are you confident in all these guys continuing this trajectory that they're on right now? And then number two, how are you going to figure out which guy to start? Because your roster is loaded at running back and receiver as well. How are you going to figure out which guy to start week basis here with these three guys?
I don't think I'll start Ertz. We'll start there. I got that one down. I was doing a little research. I honestly have to admit, I'm a terrible tight end drafter. I never get my chance to grab Kelce. And then after that, you just say, okay, I'm dodging this for 10 rounds and I'm going to go find athletic dudes that probably used to play basketball or do something and can run and catch and just do something, please. Cause it's so touchdown dependent. So I'm always out there doing really stupid things, which I hope are smart. But a dollar free agent bidding, dollar here, 3 weeks before I hope someone else figures it out. I'll grab this guy, I'll grab that guy. And you hold them. And if you have a decent enough team where you can hold those 2-3 extra roster spots, then you try. Because, I mean, tight end, as we all know, it's a mess. But if you hit tight end in the right spot, it's a huge advantage. I mean, just ask any Kelce owner that is lucky enough to see him slide to 6 or 7 this year and just says, oh, God, here I go. I'm getting my 32 points and running from there. This week's going to be a really easy decision. Pats are coming off a bye. I would never play Conklin against Belichick coming off a bye in Foxborough. It's suicide. And I believe Johnson's playing the Rams, which I think are really tough against. I think they're in the top 5 as far as defending the tight end. So we're going to roll with Cole Kmet and, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, of course, now that I'm starting him this week, we know what that'll mean. He'll, you know, 2 catches for 9 yards. But, we're going to go with it and see if hopefully it, the trend continues. But so the decision was made very easy by the defenses that they're playing, the other guys, right, and losing Zach. But he can't, you know, Zacharys was great for, 10 weeks? I can't really complain too much.
Yeah, and I was looking at your team before the show. So you drafted Ertz, and I feel like your second tight end was Albert Okwuegbunam from Denver, right? And so that means I don't want to put words in your mouth. Were Conklin, Johnson, and Kmet all free agent pickups then?
I know Johnson was. I know Kmet was.
Conklin had to.
You know what? He had to have been, because honestly, I don't even think I knew who he was until probably the first week of September. You know, I mean, I'm sure someone on Boston Talk Radio that I was listening to over the stream was yelling about his name at some point. But yeah, no, I didn't know who he was. I thought they had wasn't it CJ Uzomah that was supposed to be their tight end in the preseason?
Yeah.
And that just didn't pan out, or maybe he got hurt or something. I'm not quite sure. Like I said, tight end is not my area of expertise.
Okay, but it's not your area of expertise, but I think that this is a lesson for people out there, because I think a lot of people get burned on tight end if they don't go with the top 3. It always seems like there's 3 or 4 elite guys every single year. And if you don't get one of those, they have to take a similar approach to what you did, where you're trying to take chances on small bids on these guys a week before they blow up, right? And if you do it and you do it properly, maybe you hit on 1 or 2. It seems like you hit on 3 utilizing that strategy.
Hindsight's 20/20, but if I could go back to, early September, I think that team was drafted on September 5th. I would just go grab some super high end quarterback in the top 5 or 6 rounds, like a Hurts or a Josh Allen or whatever you have you. And that, I don't think a tight end would see my roster until, honestly, I think I'd drafted defense before I took a tight end. At that point, it would have gone defense, kicker, then tight end, and just said, hey, we'll figure this out. It's come to that. I mean, well, I think the rest of my roster is waiver wire tight ends. So let
me ask you this in regards to, you mentioned Jalen Hurts. You've been riding that wave all season in this league, right? And into the top 30 overall out of nearly 15,000 teams. You also have Deshaun Watson on your roster. Now, I wasn't sure if this was a pickup or if this is a guy you drafted late. When you have Jalen Hurts, why is it still important to roster a guy like Deshaun Watson?
Well, I mean, people get hurt, which sucks. It's the reality of football. And running quarterbacks are going to take big hits. The couple of years ago, I did really well in the tournament, and just out of the blue, Doug Baldwin, I think it was 6-7 years ago, just went ballistic. You probably remember this.
And everyone said, absolutely.
The heck is who is Doug Baldwin? I said, I don't even know who he is, but he's on my team. And he's at some point I was sixth overall after going to the final week. I said, okay, this is a lesson to be learned. You need to have a hot hand. And if someone like a Deshaun Watson is going to become available to you for a dollar. This is not exaggeration. I think I got him maybe for two because I was assumed someone's going to be smart enough to bid.
At what point? How long have you had him? Just curiously. Roughly.
4 weeks.
Okay.
4 weeks, right. 5 weeks.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
And this is, I mean, the lesson of being, well, just two stories to the lesson is, one, if you're lucky enough to draft really well in the first, say, 10 picks, you have the luxury of having open roster spots and you can hold people. Now, that is also a byproduct of not having injuries. This particular team that we're talking about has really been injury-free. The only thing that has messed up this team has been this idiot owner that cut Justin Fields probably 5 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, because he wasn't going to do anything, right? But I figured, well, I have this embarrassment of riches at quarterback. You know, we'll throw in Daniel Jones. He's going to do good occasionally. And he did. And he's done fine. But this Fields guy is not going to do anything, correct? I think. Hasn't done anything.
I was of the same opinion as you, and I believe he is still rushing for another touchdown currently.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have him in a single FFPC platform other than the best balls.
You know, I'll just bring this up real quick. This is one of the worst things. I mean, if this is one of the worst things ever to happen to me in fantasy, I've had a pretty good career. When he had the 170 yards, not this past week, but I think, was it last week that he had the 170 yards?
Right? Yeah.
So I was talking to my buddy about this. I'm like, oh, sweet. I picked Fields up because I had somebody on a bye or somebody was hurt. I can't remember what it was. And I'm like, awesome. Well, at least I got Fields on that roster. And then I did a search of all my leagues. I didn't have Fields anywhere. I spent that whole Sunday thinking I had Fields going somewhere. And then I had him going nowhere. It was one of the biggest gut punches. I'm like, how did I miss this? So frustrating.
I look at the team now with Komet and I say, God, had I just, I mean, thankfully the quarterback position is not something I'm remotely worried about, but had I been stuck with a Brady or a Rodgers or whatever, I would have really been upset, but it's turned out okay.
It has turned out okay for sure. Mecole Hardman did not play this week, but he was very good last week. Now the problem is Kadarius Toney looked pretty good this past week. I know the Smith-Schuster injury could figure into your response here, but for anybody who's looking to start Hardman this coming week in week 11 when they take on the Chargers, how much trepidation should there be given that Toney looked pretty good in his first real full game, his first real game with a full week of practice?
I would say quite a bit. I mean, you have to consider a couple of things. One is Hardman has an abdomen injury, I believe. And I mean, stretching, running, moving, I pulled an abdomen once skiing. I just remember I wanted to cry for about 2 months. It's not a fun thing to do. I can't imagine having guys try to chase me down and, you know, knock my head off while I'm trying to do this. It's not going to be a good idea. Tony is a high-end talent. You know, he was drafted, I believe, 20th overall, I think, at one point.
First overall pick. First round pick, but yes.
It didn't work out in New York for, I mean, every story we've all heard, but you can't doubt the gentleman's talent. I mean, I believe I saw something the other day that a man-to-man coverage, he's top five in the entire league as far as separation. He's not getting covered. I mean, he hopped in on one leg in the end zone the other day, and I'm pretty sure he did that just to show off.
Yeah.
But it looked cool. And then combine that with the fact that Juju's out. Juju is playing in the slot. I think Tony's going to play in the slot a little bit more than Hardman would, just because they're two different types of players. And maybe Pat's got a new toy. I mean, who knows? But I would not want to go down that Hardman road. If you look at the targets, I took a peek earlier at the targets that he threw 40 times. against the Jaguars, which is, I think, is a low number for them because they have a game in hand. But I think MVS saw about 36 of them. And, you know, it dwindles down from there. But you're not getting – Tony, I think, was at 16 or – I had wrote it down. So, Tony had 17 targets. Juju had 16 before he got knocked out of the game. And they brought in – I'm sure Sky Moore shows 10. So what are we looking at here? I'm not seeing a role for Hardman. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I would be concerned. And it, which really stinks because I have McColl on more dynasty teams than I care to admit. And he was finally seeming to break out after, you know, 19 point something points last week, 3 touchdowns the week before. I said, okay, well, maybe the patience is paying off. Well, now you got to deal with an injury. And I mean, I wouldn't start a guy an abdomen injury. I wouldn't really feel comfortable rolling with a guy if you have better options, obviously.
As a New England Patriots fan, you should remember this. There's a few years ago, maybe more than a few, where the Patriots had Rob Gronkowski, they had Aaron Hernandez, they had Brandon Lloyd, and I believe it was Wes Welker at the time. Those four guys. Mm-hmm. All four of them in FFPC drafts were going in like the first 3, maybe 4 rounds. And mm-hmm. Dave Gerzak, my former HSFFR co-host, was adamant. He's like, one of these guys is going to bust. They cannot all pay off at their current ADP. Well, it ended up being Brandon Lloyd was the bust. But I bring this up because of the Niners situation this year. So now, in addition to starting the season with Ayuk and Kittle and Debo Samuel, now they have Christian McCaffrey in that backfield as well, which is good for the Niners and good from a real NFL standpoint. But for fantasy, are we looking at sort of like it? You know, George Kittle had what was it, like 4 points yesterday? 5 points last year?
He had 2 targets and 1 reception, which is not good.
It's not good. And I got to wonder, like, that's not going to happen to Kittle every week, but it's going to happen to somebody because these guys just can't pay off big time for fantasy owners. Is this sort of the attitude that we have to take if we have a Niner skill position player? I mean, I know McCaffrey is probably going to be the highest volume guy of that, but Debo Samuel didn't have a great night. I mean, this is a situation that I think we have to have new realistic expectations for what these guys are going to do on a day-to-day or on a week-to-week basis.
Well, it kind of comes down to what did you pay for the individual, the player at the time of your draft or by a free agent dollars, and where are you placing him? Is this your WR1, your WR2, or is this your second flex on a week with 6 teams on a bye? Now, I have Ayuk on a bunch of teams. He's the fourth, you know, the second flex, fourth wide receiver, we'll call it. And that's cool. You know, you're not too worried about that because he's makes some big plays. He had a good game after dropping the touchdown last night. But some people drop, I believe, probably what, third, fourth round pick on Kittle. And you see him get 2 targets. That hurts. A lot of people I know took Debo in the late second.
Yep.
I being one of them. And you're... This is not a good scene, and I don't know how much everyone on watching or yourself watched last night, but they seem to have this. Obviously, I'm a Garoppolo fan for being a Patriots fan, but they're doing this inside run pass option handoff where then Jimmy just looks off to the side and throws the ball like it's going into the 15th row, and it's not fooling the cameraman, it's not fooling us at home. I don't really even know what the point of it is, but it looks really stupid actually, but. The defense is not, they're getting paid millions of dollars. They've done this their whole life. They're not falling for this. They know who's getting the ball. Now, if Debo wasn't looping around 7 yards behind Jimmy and just, you know, probably grabbing a popsicle for all I know, maybe that would be believable. But I was watching it time after time last night saying, come on, man, you got these superstar players out here. Make it believable. If we can't believe it on the television at home and I'm laughing at it with my friends, is it really going to fool a guy that's done his entire life who is at the top of his game? I'm thinking probably not.
Yeah. I think you raised a good point with that as well. And that was a game that they came back and went, like we saw the graphic last night when Garoppolo was being interviewed that now he goes to 10-2 in games he starts and doesn't throw a touchdown, which I went on Twitter and looked and every day the same joke. This is a guy who contributed nothing to his group project and he still got an A on it. You know, like that is Garoppolo in a nutshell right now. It's crazy.
He was a charmed lifestyle. I can give him that.
Absolutely. all right. So One of the things I like to do on this program is ask unfair questions of our guests, and you're no different. I'm going to ask you an unfair question right now. Ramondre Stevenson, mid round pick, he's blowing up. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker, you got him in numerous leagues of yours. He's blowing up. He was a mid round pick. Number one, why did we let those players slip as far as we did? And here's the unfair part. How do we avoid making mistakes like that in the future? How do we avoid letting a potential league winners like these guys slip to the 9th, 10th, 11th rounds?
What's that saying? Oh, remember the no fear days and all that? They say like be bold or go big or go home or all that.
Yeah. No fear. Nice no fear reference.
I mean, I like that. Yeah. I'm 50, so I can reference the no fear 90 stuff.
I totally remember that. Do you remember the whole co-ed naked whatever? That was the other big one around no fear. I remember that.
Someone's on a beach in Hawaii laughing at selling those t-shirts to everyone, but good for them. I think, honestly, I know the Patriots situation as well as I think I could, and the Patriots situation was a product of diversity. There's just too many mouths to feed. You had, in the past, you had Rex Burkett, James White, Brandon Bolden, you know, then Jarvis Green-Ellis, if you want to go really far back. And then, you know, it transferred over to Damian Harris. They brought in Ramondre. And then what did they do last year? They draft two rookies. And everyone's just saying, well, what am I going to do here? Enough is enough. You can all be really talented players, but for our purposes in fantasy, maybe you're not. Mm-hmm. And Damian's been hurt, which is unfortunate. And Ramondre, I think, is a lot better than people even remotely realized. He's just really good. And the rookies, I don't think either one of them has even been on the game time squad for maybe more than a game or two. I mean, I'm usually trying to find them for $200 in DFS and hoping that there's a blowout. But it doesn't happen. So for the Patriots, I would say it goes by fear and also common sense. I mean, do you really want to, you know, go the team that passes 20 times and has five receivers that split the pie? Probably not. With Walker, it's common sense. I think everyone that passed on Walker probably did the right thing. Mm-hmm. You have a team that was supposed to go 0-16 or 2-14 and have the number one pick. And you have a guy who was not proven to be a pass catcher in college, who maybe profiled as a first down, second down running back, who was behind Penny, who killed it last year at the end of the season. And got his little nice 1 year, what did he get, $6 million contract. So Seattle committed to him for the one season. Now they grafted Walker early, but from our point of view, you're thinking it's going to, one, take an injury, which with Penny was actually, we should have assumed that was going to happen, obviously, because it happened every single year. Right. But then you also to assume that Seattle was actually going to be in a game. And I would love to meet anyone that told me that Seattle was going to be 6-4 or whatever they are. And a million years, I was never taking that. Mm-hmm. And do you really want to draft a young running back who's number two, who doesn't catch passes? Until the other day, we now realize he can catch passes. Everything that we thought, which probably proves that we don't know anything, it didn't happen. It just didn't. So I'm glad I got him in the 10th round.
Right.
I remember watching the Michigan State game where he just went ballistic last year against, I don't even know who, but he dropped like four touchdowns on someone. Yeah. And I said, I don't know who this kid is, but wow, I'm going to squeeze him in on some team next year. And basically that's what happened.
And I guess what I'm hearing here is kind of what I expected. These are specific situations that very few people, if any, could have predicted. And it's just kind of like getting fortunate in the mid rounds, which is what we're looking for in these national tournaments. There's really no way to predict that a guy like Ramondre Stevenson, who is in an incredibly crowded backfield, would be the guy to pick. There's really no way, you know, you think about too, when did Chris Carson retire? Because I think we had drafts going on before he announced his retirement. And then it was Penny Carson and Kenneth Walker in that backfield. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things. Like if you're fortunate, it pays off. Sometimes it doesn't pay off, but there's really no rhyme or reason into trying to pin down these guys of like, okay, this is going to be the guy in this situation this year, because we just don't know.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
It's a good lesson too. I have a lot of friends that I play with in home leagues who I've tried to recruit to come out to Vegas or say, hey, you know, jump in a main event with me. I'll split the team with you, $1,000 each, whatever. Or why don't you jump into a football guys for $350? And I said, oh, I'm going in the pool with a bunch of sharks. And I say, listen, there's people that do well. I mean, yeah, do a little bit of research. I'm not saying you don't have to be a rocket science scientist or anything like that, but you know, do your research, figure this out. But when it comes down to the tournament of 3 weeks of here comes the gong show, you don't know what's going to go on. Your quarterback could blow his knee out. You could do this. The next thing you know, you're getting handed a $500,000 check and everybody's happy. It's I've tried to say this to people, but I think they just want to go to Vegas just to party. So yeah, just, you know, I'll do the drafting for them and they'll just probably hit the machines or the tables.
I mean, everybody has a great time either way, you know, and that's the way to look at it. J.K. Dobbins, speaking of crowded backfields in Baltimore, is Gus Edwards, is Justice Hill, now Kenyon Drake, obviously. When J.K. Dobbins does come back, what are we expecting for a workload? Is this guy ever going to be startable without some more injuries in that Ravens backfield?
I don't think anyone can answer that question other than probably J.K. Dobbins, but I do know this is having the luxury of a healthy roster and having some space. When I saw him get dropped in the league, I just said, you know what, I did my research on the football guy. I saw, you know, Dr. Bramall, Gene was saying, week 12 on, fine, done. $2, $3, whatever the heck it was. Put him away, and if I need the roster space, eventually I'll cut him. And maybe I'll have to cut him after the point where no one can get him back anyways, and I just play defense. I think it was Bill Parcells that always used to say to the Patriots is, you'll win your division, hats and t-shirt day. You're not going to the tournament unless you come in, you know, a certain space in your 12-man league. Mm-hmm. So you can have the greatest team you ever think you had, but if you're the fifth greatest team you thought you had, guess what? You're not going. Yeah. Actually, sometimes you're not even the third greatest team, you're not going. So concentrate on winning that. And I didn't want any, same thing with Deshaun Watson. I didn't want someone going, haha, you know, look what I did. And you could have had this for a dollar and you had all this space. I mean, other than Justin Fields, which whatever it happens, there's guys I caught that I couldn't even tell you who they are. You're like, oh yeah, he looked good. He hit, I mean, sure, wonderful, great. Kendrick Bourne. Great, wonderful. And I think the Patriots are going to cut him before I do next time. But it's just, you know, put him on there and stash him and hope and pray. And sometimes you get lucky. Now, maybe Watson and Bourne and Dobbins are going to burn two holes in my roster. But if you have the blessing of health and no injuries and you got lucky in your first, say, 10, 11 picks, play that game and, you know, play against your competitors and keep away is a very strong way to win a game. I mean, how many people wish they'd had Justin Fields, even if they had Pat Mahomes, how many people wish they had Justin Fields right now just so the guy wasn't dropping 50 points or 40 points on him when they play him next week.
It's true. It's a great point. And I think, like, you know, so often, especially when we run into bye weeks with sometimes six teams on bye or you get hit hard by injuries, we're always looking to improve our roster. But sometimes there is that added aspect, especially if you're playing in a 12-team, 20-man roster like the Football Guys Players Champion or the main event. There is a certain element of playing defense when these guys pop up, and just to make sure. Maybe Dobbins does nothing for you the rest of the way. But at that same point, you are assuring yourself that he's not going to do anything against you as long as he's on your team, which I think is underrated. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, speaking of running backs, he gets, and I thought this is a misprint when I was looking at the Chiefs game.
I did too.
Four snaps. He played four snaps, two targets. He dropped both of them, or he didn't catch either one. I don't know if he dropped them. But is he droppable now in all leagues? And I'll preface this by saying that Isaiah Pacheco a couple weeks ago ascended to the top of the depth chart, according to the Chiefs. Jerick McKinnon, the last at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, has been the guy getting the most snaps, the most touches in this backfield. And for some reason, I don't know, the Chiefs refused to part ways with Ronald Jones. So he is still on the roster, even though he's never getting in the games. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, droppable for you at this point?
Not this week. They play the Chargers next week. Mm-hmm. And we both know what's going to happen in that game.
Right.
But everyone's going to think that the Chiefs are going to win. The Chargers are somehow going to pull a hat out of there. Hey, buddy. They're going to pull something out.
Keep going.
Oh, they're going to pull a rabbit out of their hat.
No. Keep going.
Pull a rabbit out of their hat, and what's going to happen is the game's going to be 52-48, and every one of us is going to say, oh God, they were down by 12 points in the fourth quarter, and all they did was dump off to Clyde the entire time, and he catches nine balls for 87 yards in the last, you know, 19 minutes of the game and drops a touchdown, and we all look like idiots.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid's saying, well, we dropped it in the first round for a reason. It's kind of one of those... I wouldn't drop him unless you absolutely need to go. I mean, I know it's a bye week coming up. I wouldn't do it. And I actually would start him this week if you're in a position where you say, uh-oh, I need some help, because it's the recipe is perfect. He's not going to play the Jets or the Titans next week. He's not going to play, you know, some mud bowl in who knows in Cleveland. He's going to, I don't know. Are they playing the game in Cal? Oh, they're playing at SoFi, I believe.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now for verification, but I think you're right.
The plan itself, yeah, because the Chargers were just on the road. It's going to be perfect conditions, and the ball is going to be flying everywhere. And I'm sure at some point, who knows if the Chargers will have anyone to catch the ball. That I don't know.
Yeah, and Everett went down last night as well, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So now they got Everett and Allen and Mike Williams concerns. That game is it is in Los Angeles, and the total's already at 50 on that game. So, and the other thing to keep in mind is he droppable? Yes, he's droppable, but probably not by 99% or at least 95% of teams out there. You got to keep him around. Injury to McKinnon, an injury to Pacheco could certainly change things, or the whims of Andy Reid. You never know. And this is a guy who's done it before too. Now, there's plenty of people at the start of the season that said what he is doing right now is not sustainable. He's scoring touchdowns at an insanely great rate. And you take advantage of that, right, when it happens. But you had to know that the downturn was coming. The downturn is here. And now you're at the point where you're trying to bank wins. He might be a lottery ticket type guy, but you don't want to cut lottery ticket running backs ever, in my opinion. Like, you always want to keep those guys around. Cooper Kupp, we found out. We kind of knew last night that he was going to be out for a while, and the news we got today is that he is going to miss. I think that the official time frame was significant time, which doesn't sound good. Maybe that's 2 weeks, maybe it's 4 weeks, maybe it's 6 weeks. I don't know. But in the meantime, the dumpster fire that is the 2022 Los Angeles Rams, who is the beneficiary on this team now that with Cooper Kupp out? Does Allen Robinson finally return some value each and every week? Is Van Jefferson going to start catching a lot of passes after he missed the first part of the season? Is Tyler Higbee going to do what he was doing basically the first 2 months of the season and catching all these passes? How do you see this shaking out in a Rams offense without Cooper Kupp?
I think you just have to look back to the first part of the season, which is it's pretty obvious that I know Stafford wasn't the quarterback this past week, but I think Higbee went 8 targets, 8 receptions.
Correct.
Basically went ham. Stafford's already proven that he loves him. I personally, I'm sure Allen Robinson's a really nice person. I can't start him in my fantasy team. I'm sorry. I have him on one team. I don't think he started since week 2. And as far as Van Jefferson goes, I mean, that's a hit or miss one. Higbee's getting targets. I mean, he's probably going to clean up. I have 5 FFPC Dynasty teams. Higbee's only on one of them. When I got the question from you and heard about the injury status, I sent out 4 trade offers.
Oh yeah,
I'm 0-1 so far. 3 non-responses, but we'll see what happens.
At least you got a response on one of them. That's
yeah. It was. I think it started with an F and ended with a U, but it didn't go well. It says I watched the news too. I had to try.
Absolutely, and I think you're right too. I mean, and when Stafford does come back, I mean. It's not like this is a Wolford Higbee connection this season. There is a significant Stafford Higbee one, and betting against Allen Robinson certainly has been. If you're doing that more often than not, you've been right this year, and Higbee makes a lot of sense for me as well with no Cup. To draw something back to what we talked about at the top of the episode with Zach Ertz now out in Arizona, I think he had like 40 some catches this year. Almost 500 yards. He was a significant part of that offense. DeAndre Hopkins is a target hog. We all know that. What about Rondale Moore now? I mean, is Rondale Moore the type of guy that is going to be like a top 25 guy? He had a good game yesterday again. He got a lot of catches. Is he the type of guy that you have to look for reasons not to start him because it's going to be so easy to start him?
I think the answer is most definitely, and I still don't understand why, because – I had a friend of mine put me on to Rondale Moore in a Devy League like 4 years ago. And I said, I have no idea who this guy is. He said, dude, check out the squad he's doing it. I think he went to Purdue or something like that.
Purdue, absolutely.
And this is a super fast, insanely athletic person. So then he gets to Arizona and he doesn't do anything. Of course, I draft him in the first round of my 500 Dynasty League with the guys. Does zero. I have disclosure to everyone. I'm the worst Dynasty player on the planet. Because there is a 100% zero patience factor in my life. So, you know, the Dynasty players are patient. They wait and they wait. No. I'm trading this guy usually after week 4, gone. Give me someone else. And I somehow, for some reason, waited on Rondale Moore. And now I have him on a couple teams and a Dynasty team, and he's paying dividends. Of course, I didn't start him this past week in the 500 because he had, what's his name, playing quarterback, Colt McCoy. And then he kills it, of course. Now, I thought when he was doing well that when D-Hop came back that he was going to do bad because it was going to be a target hog and everything was going to go away. Complete opposite happens. I think D-Hop has drawn all the coverage away, and now Rondale Moore is running around. Now, the fact that they don't really use the tight end that much in that system and the only tight end they have left is a rookie, I'm assuming that they're going to have to drop a lot into the slot where Moore is going to be quick and agile. And you're going to have 2 guys. They're obviously going to put them on both sides of the formation. It's got to be good for him. I don't see how it can't be. You know, it's one less mouth to feed, and he's ascending as much as anyone right now in the league.
And Eno Benjamin released by Arizona today. So
I saw that.
I don't understand. Does that make any sense to you?
I was listening to the Sirius channel, and they were saying he was making like $250,000. And I'm pretty sure that isn't putting a dent in the owner's pocket. I don't know what was going on. You know, maybe.
Well, the beauty of it. Well, the beauty of it is we get Hard Knocks in Season on HBO, which would premiere last week.
That's right.
So now we'll get to maybe we'll get some behind the scenes stuff. Not only the Zach Ertz injury, but did Eno Benjamin tick somebody off or something? And I guess the question is now, like, you know, James Conner is no stranger to the trainer's room. I had Eno Benjamin in several leagues. Obviously took advantage when Connor was out. Now, does this mean that we have to start looking at, you know, lottery bids on guys like Darrell Williams and Keyonte Ingram?
Here's the question is, do you want to at this point in the season? I mean, you have to realize, especially from like the main event and Football Guys tournament, how much room do you have? How much fab do you have? And how much do you need them? Mm-hmm. And then, so say you got $487 left. Are you going to go dump 320 on Ingram, which I bet you might take that because some and when it gets late, you know how it is. Once people have money and they know can't spend it much longer, oh, they're going to go crazy. You know, I got torn to shreds for dropping 220 on Cole Kmet in the league that we're talking about, the leader league. And I was like, okay, sure. Yeah. Sounds good. I mean,
it's working out. Clearly, it's working out.
It's not bad. Yeah. Risk goes down. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone who has a good team that's, you know, right on that 1-2 or 2-3 spot right now and says, I'm taking a shot at this, or I have $500 and I'm putting 250 on each of them. Why not? I mean, we're at the point now, we're going into week 11 where you were either going to get into the tournament and get into your playoffs, or you're going to go home.
What if you have Connor in the Football Guys Players Championship, and let's say you add Benjamin too, that because that's where it gets tricky for me. Do I just let somebody else have him, and I hope to increase my variance with another lottery ticket, one injury away guy running back off the waiver wire, or am I better off trying to lock up a guy like Ingram?
Well, I know we used to. I know before we added the 17th game, we used to after 10th week, I believe it was, you couldn't receive players back, or 11th week. What is it now? The 11th week.
Right. Yeah. So if there's once you cut a player, then they are locked the rest of the way.
After week 11, correct?
After week 11, I believe. Yeah. I have.
So we have one more week. So I would be I'm pretty sure because it used to be week 10. I think I got that email. So definitely be a jerk and don't get an advantage to hold it for one more week. I mean, you have to. That's just, again, we go back to playing defense and it's common sense. I used to draft tons of quarterbacks when I had a loaded team a few years back. I remember I saw a bunch of quarterbacks who were available on the thing. I took like four of them one time, cut a bunch of scraps, took them all, cut them all, put them all back on, and then just redrafted a bunch of wide receivers that were going to hit and miss. And everyone said, dude, where's all the quarterbacks? Said, oh, you guys didn't want them. They're not available anymore.
That's right. Sorry. That's
play chess, you know.
It's all about game theory when it comes down to
it. Gotta win.
All right. So final question here for you. Mm-hmm. And I know we're still technically in week 10 because we're gonna have in probably a little bit less than an hour, we're gonna have the Commanders and the Eagles go at it. But if you look at week 11 now for lineups, the Seahawks and Buccaneers played in Munich, so they are on bye this week. You won't have them available. The Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa, all those guys not going to be available to players. And Travis Etienne in Jacksonville, maybe Evan Engram, maybe Christian Kirk on a lot of teams. Those people are not going to be able to start them. So as we look at week 11, is there any sleeper out there that you really like? And conversely, is there any stud that's out there that you think might be in for a bad week?
Yeah. To preface this, week 11 has been my nightmare with this team we've been talking about because I'm losing a lot of talent, and I'm just happy that the team's been on a winning streak, and I'll absorb the pain and just see where it goes. But I would, as far as who I would go after as a sleeper, I would go right back to Higby. Mm-hmm. I just think if you have him on, he wasn't drafted, I believe, as anyone's tight end one. I can't imagine it being. If you have him and you're lucky enough to use him and roll with it, and then find other players that maybe was there an injury this week? Okay, so Zach Ertz went down. Do you have Rondale Moore? You know, do you have who's going to pick up the slack here? Because we're getting to that point where a lot of teams out there, 5-4, 6-3, 4-5, you can't take another loss. Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, it's not cutting time. And Higby would be the one I would look at. As for who I would sit, I would always look at the bye weeks and who's playing the home teams. And I think two of the best coaches and organizations right now have had a bye, are sitting at home waiting for people to come in. I would not play anybody touching the Ravens or Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I believe it's, what is it? I know the Jets are playing in New England, and I think the Panthers are playing in, I think the Panthers are playing in Baltimore. So if you have DJ Moore and you're expecting a lot, or if you're one of those people that went really crazy on Chuba Hubbard or Donta Foreman, and you think you're actually going to get something out of the situation, or God forbid you thought Garrett Williams was going to be the second coming of Odell Beckham Jr. Right. I have news for you. And trust me, it's not going to happen on a bye week coming against either one of those teams. And besides that, though, I would say this. I'm a New Englander. I'm in New Hampshire right now, but I've spent since 2008 in Colorado. And sorry, Broncos fans, I still can't stand your team or John Elway. But I will say this. They play good defense, and they want to get rid of Russell Wilson, but the defense is good. Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to have a real big reality break going into Denver this week. I just don't see it going well. They're going to walk into a hornet's nest. It's not going to go well.
Yeah, and it's just not. It's not going well in general in Las Vegas right now. I mean, Derek Carr was borderline crying on the podium after the game, just so emotionally invested. I get the feeling that not all the players. This is just my speculation. Not all the players are on the same page and have different agendas going on there, which is not good for a football team. And now you have to go to Denver to play that defense. That's not a recipe.
It's not going well. And he's their ex-coach. And I think there's a lot of bad blood probably flowing around. If I had Josh Jacobs, I know he's probably carried a ton of teams. And I know I'm playing against him in a couple important games this week, next coming week, which I'm pretty psyched about. And I just don't see it happening. They're going to shut him down.
And I think you're right. And I think he's a tough sit, but after the game, especially if you have three really good running backs, maybe Jacobs is a guy that you could look at sitting, especially if you have the roster to do it. To your point about Higbee, Tyler Higbee in the FFPC main event, shout out to Fantasy Mojo, fantasymojo.com, Darren Armani, his great website, which you should subscribe to if you are an FFPC player for anybody watching. Tyler Higbee, the last couple of days of the FFPC main event, this would have been Saturday and Sunday of week one. He was drafted on average as the tight end 16 in the late 11th round. So you're right. Nobody was drafting him as their starter unless they really waited on tight end, which you probably shouldn't have done. You probably should, if you want to have success in the FFPC, is watch this podcast, listen to what Eric Sisson is saying, because he's been there. He's done that. He's had a lot of success. And I really thank you for coming on a special episode early tonight. On Monday, pregame episode, which was awesome to have you on. Good luck the rest of the way in all your leagues, too, not just the team you got in the top 30. I know you got a lot of teams in contention, not only there, but your dynasty leagues as well. And we will do this again sometime. Thank you so much, Eric.
Most definitely, Eric. See you in Vegas soon. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Eric Sisson, ladies and gentlemen. You follow him on Twitter at Sisson. That's S-Y-S-Y-N. And, of course, we wish him nothing but the best of luck based on all the insight that he gave us tonight. I do want to thank, as we close out the program, number one, RotoViz, the FFPC, Eric Sisson, and of course, each and every one of you for watching, listening, streaming this. We certainly appreciate it. Remember to play the FFPC Weekly Challenge. There is no draft. There is no salary cap in this. You just choose 10 players if you want to play the slim format, 12 players if you want to play the format with defenses and kickers, and then just watch him go the rest of the weekend. You can play for as little as $35. If you want to play in the $200 10-team entry, the winner of that 10-team will get a free entry into the 2023 FFPC main event where you can play for $1 million there. So very exciting. MyFFPC.com is where to sign up for that. I do believe we have the Week 11 stuff already open there if you want to register. Couple of housekeeping notes. So this was a bonus episode this week. We will be doing the regular 10-9 Central RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown tomorrow night with a guy who's been on the program before, Rob Abbott, who's got a team in contention in the football guy, or beg your pardon, the FFPC main event in the top 20, I believe. So we will talk with him tomorrow. Coming up on Wednesday on the Better Sports Network, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show, will be myself from 10 p.m. all the way up until midnight Eastern. Myself and football guys, Drew Davenport, will be my co-host on that program. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Friday night, Rob Sussman, who is has a top 10 team in the Football Guys Players Championship. He will join myself and Farrell Elliott at 10-9 Central on Friday. And I'm still working on getting together a bonus episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour this week because there are no FFPC shows Thanksgiving week because my lovely wife decided to schedule a vacation for us during a pretty important season, part of the season. So no shows next week, which is why we're doubling up on everything this week. So with that, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I will see you right here at 10-9 Central tomorrow on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount
through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.